Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is so good to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 12 and verse 3. Praise the Lord. Romans 12 and verse 3. I sent out the slick text yesterday, so you have a little bit of an idea of where we're headed, but this is going to be a two-part little mini-series, I guess, on growing our faith. And the message that I had thought that I was going to preach this morning is the one we're going to share next week. And as I was praying, I just didn't feel released to share it today. And so the reason was is because there was a part one that needed to come out. And anyways, that's what we're believing God for, is utterance and help today. And we're going to leave change. I'm leaving change. I don't know about you, but I'm leaving change. Praise God. Father, we need help this morning. We need you, Lord. We thank you. This is our time with you. This is our appointment with you. This is our visitation with you. We don't take this time lightly. I know it's something we do on a repetitive basis, but Father, it's not become mundane or casual to us. We know that you're here, and if you're here, miracles are possible. If you're here, impartations are the will, are your desire. So, Father, we thank you for help this morning as we hunger and thirst, Father, because our hunger and thirst is a demonstration of our faith, and Father, you need faith to move. But as we give you our faith this morning, you'll do your part. You're faithful. And Father, I know there's times and seasons and situations where we need a touch from heaven, and we need a word from heaven. And you said this, that without a vision or without a word, without a revelation, people will perish. So, Father, I thank you. You'll speak to people's hearts this morning. Revelation, impartation, direction, encouragement. And Father, sometimes it's correction that saves us and helps us. So we welcome it all. So we thank you, Lord, this morning that we're here and we're going to see a move of God, the Holy Ghost, and we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Romans 12 and verse 3, of course, we know this being at this church, the mandate that's on my life, my ministry, my churches is to preach faith, is to build people up. And the Lord told me from the beginning that's what we would major in. And of course, ever since, you know, the beginning of March when we had to close down, it's God's been really putting things in us, getting things in us, because faith is our out in this world. It's faith is how we fight back. And so we need to get faith in us, because when we become skilled in faith, we can fight back. It's when you're not skilled in faith that you're kind of, you know, the devil can mess with you and do things to you. And I don't know why I'm going to share this. This just came up in my heart. It's gonna relate somehow here. But, you know, talking about fighting back and being skilled. I used to go to the carnival in Frewsburg. They had the carnival days. I don't know what they called them specifically. But I used to love that, you know, because I was addicted to elephant ears. And I don't know about you, but that, you know, add that to my list behind gambling, elephant ears. And so I had to go get them at the carnival. But there was a booth there that, one of those water dunk tanks. And I used to enjoy, it was one day I enjoyed watching this guy, because he was just a carny guy that was a trash talker, just going at people. And I just would love watching what he would say. But then all of a sudden I heard the word, "Hey, shorty." And I looked for Jim Walker, and I couldn't find him. And so I thought, oh, he must be talking about me. And anyways, so I'm just watching. I'm not even playing. And he turns his attention to me and starts calling me shorty, and then starts talking about my mom. And it was, you know, just he was ruthless, not holding back. But see, what he didn't realize was that Mike Anderson was in the crowd that day. And he didn't know that you put a baseball in my hand, it's the one thing in life I feel comfortable with. Especially back then, I didn't feel comfortable with a whole lot of things. And I said, "Give me the ball." And I grabbed that thing and just wham, bam, right down in the water. He splashed and he stopped talking trash to me and went to other people, because I don't think he wanted to get wet. It was kind of cold that night, you know, and people just kept missing. and missing and missing. And as they missed, his trash talk got louder and louder. But see, when somebody skilled stepped up to the plate, they was able to fight back. And see, a lot of Christians just are not skilled in faith. And the devil will trash talk and give them thoughts and situations and circumstance, and they just take it. But we're going to be skilled in faith. Because not only do our lives need it, but the kingdom needs it. You know, we have to recognize, and one thing that's on my heart strong, and you'll see it, you know, over time, me sharing my heart with you, is that the kingdom needs to be number one to us. And I know people amen that, but a lot of people in the body of Christ, the kingdom is not number one. It's the main focus is your own life. Not, I'm not saying you specifically, but their own life, you know, selfishness of my money, my healing, my kids, my job, my business, my hobbies, my stuff, my fun, my this. It's like, and what the danger we have with faith is faith has taught us to accumulate or to receive or to make things appear out of nowhere, and that's good, but the main reason God gave us faith was to bring it for the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom, not ourselves. And so, yes, we need it for ourselves to overcome, to receive the promises of God, and he's not against that. But when it only becomes about us, that's an issue.
That's right. Amen.
Our life's passing away, but his kingdom is not. And so we need to bring it to the kingdom, because there's things that God has put on my heart as the pastor of these churches and things in the future. I told you, you know, stepping into the post office on July 12th, I believe it was the date, the Lord spoke something to me concerning future things and callings and things. And the things that God wants to move us into with the miracles, the signs, the wonders, it's not going to be a one-man show. It's going to take a collective group, but we all are going to have to bring our faith. You know, if we even think about the financial realm of it, you know, there's building payments on these buildings. Well, we need people to have faith for increase to be able to pay these buildings off, to do what God's called us to do. And so I can't do that myself. I need everybody. And so we have to be excited to learn faith, not just because it blesses us, but because it'll help the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. I'm kingdom-minded. If you'll be kingdom-minded, life will be better for you. Hallelujah. So we need faith. In Romans 12:3, I'll read this here. It says, "For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought." Basically, don't act how I act about how I think I am at baseball. Of course, when I talked about that stuff, I'm just being completely sarcastic and joking. I did excel in it, but it literally was the only thing I was good at. So let me have something. Will you let me have one thing, people? I know y'all have your own different skills, and you have a list of them. I had one. It was baseball. So, but anyway, it says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. But then it says something here. It says, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, the first thing I want you to see is that God already did this. He dealt this to every person, the measure of faith. Now, we know this, that faith is what we need. It's how we receive. It's how we overcome. It's how we quench the darts of the wicked one. It's how we please God, yada, yada, yada. We know all those good things. And the Bible says God dealt that to people. Well, what we know about the Father is that he's not a respecter of persons.
Right.
He doesn't play favorites, thankfully, right? I don't think many good parents play favorites in the sense of out loving one child more than another, or making one child struggle and blessing the other child. A good parent doesn't do that, you know. There's different things I do with Caleb and Abby, but as far as loving them and providing for them, there's not one and then one's down low. It's equal, you know. I love them the same. Well, God loves his kids the same. And so he didn't deal somebody a greater measure of faith than somebody else. He dealt everybody a measure of faith. The same measure. We got a measure of faith. It's already been done. God did that for us. But I want you to see that the Bible says it's in a measure. What's it mean? It's measurable. What's a measure? A measure is an amount. Faith can be measured. Faith can be measured in amounts. And, you know, there's different things that, you know, you like to have large amounts of, right? Money is one, right? It'd be nice to have large amounts of money. Well, it'd be nice to have large amounts of faith. Amen. And faith is measurable. And I want to show you that first in the Word, because you need to see that, because it, to me, it causes me to look inward. You know, the Bible says, let a man examine himself to see whether you be in the faith or not. And so when I find out faith's measurable, it causes me to look inward and say, okay, do I have a low measure of faith or a higher measure of faith? Because you're going to see in the Bible, it matters where your faith level is. And go with me to Matthew 8 and verse 5. We're going to look at first. Matthew 8, 5. Never thought that I'd be able to preach my dunk tank story. The Lord is good. Praise God. Never even thought of preaching that story, but it came up today and there was a reason. And it helped us, praise God, to be skillful. Shut that devil up, man. Put him in the water. Matthew 8, 5 says, and when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered, said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, now remember this statement, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And of course, we know, if we read down further, his servant received his healing. But isn't it amazing that Jesus pointed out the measure of this guy's faith? Which was what? Great. That word great in the, not Hebrew, but the Greek, as the New Testament was written in, that word great means large in quantity. He had a large quantity of faith. And notice the outcome of what happens to people with large quantities of faith. They have large victories. This was a big mountain in this guy's life. This was a big issue. Not just my servant is suffering with a stubbed toe or occasional headache. No, he's grievously tormented. And so we're talking about a big mountain in the way. And we know what moves mountains. Faith moves mountains. But not just any faith moves mountains. Great faith moves mountains. Large in quantity. And so faith can be measurable. Now, on the other hand, we need to look at the flip side of that. Matthew 14 and verse 25. Notice Jesus didn't say, I have not just found faith. He made sure to put a measure with it. Why? Because it's measurable. He said, great faith. Great faith got great things done. Praise God. Matthew 14 and verse 25 says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it's me, don't be afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come on the water. And he said, come on. When Peter was come down out of the water, out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? So we see two different measures of faith. Great faith, little faith. Large in quantity, small in quantity, right? Different measures. You know, I was mentioning how Abby loves her pancakes, and Daddy makes her a pancake, and I've got to the point now where I just dump it in the bowl, know how much it is, mix it up to make a single pancake for her. That's a small measure of pancake mix. But when Daddy, you should see the size of the pancake I make for myself. Woo! It's a great or a large quantity. What is Jesus trying to show us here? Faith is measurable. It can be great and it can be little. But notice the difference. In the great faith, mountains were moved. In the one with the little faith, sink. Defeated, overcome, overtaken. And you know what's amazing about it? Is Jesus was present in both circumstances. So the outcome wasn't on him. Right? And that's the thing, if I could say anything that I've tried to shake people free of in 10 years, is the freedom of the lie that religion tells you that life is going to be as life is going to be, that you have no part. And the devil feeds that to people, because when you have that as your mind renewed to that, and that is your revelation, you don't do anything. You know, you don't grab the baseball and throw it back and fight back. You just say, I can't do anything about this if God wanted. And that's just a lie of the devil. And a bunch of Christians are sitting on their hands waiting. But it's such a great picture between the two. We see great faith, Jesus is present, miracle happened. A measure of faith being little, same Jesus, same power, same ability, same love, same mercy, same want to. And he sank and didn't overcome. Wow. Great and little faith. Go to Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. Faith is measurable. Acts 6 and verse 5 says, the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man, notice this, full of faith. That's a measure. Full. Well, if you can be full of faith, guess what you can also be? Empty, low, running on fumes. Yes, you can be. Hallelujah. See, now here's the what the devil wants trip and say, but Jesus said mustard seed faith moves mountains. It does. Because true faith is the power of what moves things. You have to stop thinking of it. It's hard to put it into words, except that you have to understand that faith itself will move mountains. And you don't need a lot of that substance to do great things. But you need it big on the inside of you, is the best way I can put it. Amen? And in Peter, it was small on the inside of him. In the centurion, it was big on the inside of him. And in Stephen, it says he was full of that kind of faith. Well, if you can be full, you can be the opposite. What am I trying to show you? Faith is measurable. Romans 4 and verse 19. Why? Because we want to make sure our faith is great. Romans 4 and verse 19. And not being, notice this, weak in faith. You know what that word weak means? It means feeble. So you can have feeble faith. Well, and then it goes on to say in verse 20, he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Great faith, little faith. Full faith, not full faith. Weak faith, strong faith. And he's mentioning a person that with this strong faith received a great miracle. A great mountain move. Sarah having a baby at 90, right? Abraham 100, a miracle of God. And the Bible points out, in this situation, the person that was the catalyst for this had strong faith, not weak faith. We better make sure our faith is not weak. Now you just write these down. We won't turn there, so you don't need to go there. I'll just read these real quick. You can write these down for your references. But James 2 and verse 5 talks about rich faith, or that means to abound with. You know, if you're rich in finances, you abound with money. Well, rich faith means you're abounding with faith. In verse 22 of the same chapter, James 2 and verse 22, it talks about perfect faith. Well, if you can have rich faith, you can have poor faith. If you can have perfect faith, you can have imperfect faith, a measure. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, it talks about unfeigned faith or sincere faith. Well, if you have sincere faith, you can have insincere faith. Verse 19 talks about shipwrecked faith of 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19. And 1 John 5 and verse 4 talks about overcoming faith. Measures of faith. Faith can be measured. But the thing with faith, then, if it can be measured, if we can have small, little, weak, imperfect, poor faith, and we can also have rich, strong, great faith, we want to be on the needle pointing towards that side than the other side, because it's our part to play. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3 tells us and shows us that our faith can grow. See, God gives a measure of faith. What you do with the measure of faith is up to you. But my encouragement to you would be to look at the people in the Bible that Jesus pointed out, marveling at great faith in what got done in their lives. We ought to shoot for great faith. Great faith equals great victories. 2 Thessalonians 1 in verse 3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or right, because your faith groweth exceedingly." What's that saying? Faith does not have to stay the same size. The level or the greatness or the bigness of faith in you does not have to stay at the measure that was dealt to you. It can grow exceedingly. We want to grow that measure that we've been given into the great status, into the rich status, the perfect status, the strong status. Why? Then we'll see things. The kingdom will see things. We'll be unstoppable forces. Again, like I said, faith is our out. Faith is our escape route. Faith is our answer. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, faith is our victory. Praise God. I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. You know, speaking of the carnival, you know that game where you hit the, well, was it the bell or something, and the thing's supposed to go up and hit it? No, the big, where you get the big thing, and bam, it goes up, and it's supposed to hit the thing. And you see a lot of people, you know, they're swinging that, and just, whoop. That's where a lot of people's faith is at. Just a little bit. No, we want it to go up to the top, ding the bell, and get the prize, praise God. Great, strong faith, and it says that it can grow exceedingly. Now, here's the thing. God gave us a measure to do with it what we want, and I'm thankful for Him that, you know, because we see people, we hear testimonies of like Brother Hagin or Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and we would say about those people, they had great, great moves in their lives, miracles, signs and wonders. And then we'd also all agree by knowing them and the fruit of their lives and different ministers that we have in and things and testimonies we hear, we would probably dare say they're people of great faith. But they had to do something to get there. Why do you need to know this? They didn't get a measure of great faith because they have a reverend in front of their name. The level or measure of faith in your life could blow me out of the water if you so choose. Now, it's not going to happen. Why? Because I'm going to contend. That's what I mean. Not because I'm a pastor. But I'm not going to let you overtake me. Let's run together and let's go for it. But it's up to you is my point. You got to get it out of your mind. Well, these moves of God and miracles are for the pastors and the ministers and the evangelists and the travelers. No. He dealt to every man the measure. Now, the problem is every man has not done the right thing with their measure of faith. And then they don't walk into great faith and they don't walk into great victories. Go with me, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. God gave it to you, but now you don't want to be like this guy we're about to read about, because what we know about faith, just the fact that God gave us faith tells me how much he loves me. He said, hey, there is an enemy down there that has the right to be there. I, through Jesus, defeated him, and now through him, you can live victoriously, but it's always going to come through the avenue and the pipeline of faith. So faith is what's going to receive, overcome, drive the devil back. So here you go. I'm giving you this precious gift. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And look what it says in Matthew 25 and verse 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven. Now, when it says for the kingdom of heaven, he's about to tell us a parable that we can look at this natural parable that he's going to tell us, but also know that it's an example of spiritual things. So he says, the kingdom of heaven is just like what he's about to tell us. He says, it's as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. So the context here is we have a person in charge. That's, you'd say, their lord, their master, their boss. And then you have servants underneath them. It says, and delivered them his goods. Can you see how it parallels God and us? God being the master, God being the Lord, God being the Father, we being the servants, we being the children. The master in this gave his servants goods. Well, we already read that God gave us some goods. A measure of faith, praise God. The greatest thing he could have given us on this earth. So keep that in mind as we're reading this. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Now, of course, we know God gave a measure, but my point is we're going to see what they did with these. It says, according to several his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained 2 more. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckons with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought the other 5, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5. Behold, I have made 5 more. His Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also that received 2 came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2. Behold, I have gained 2 other beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Look at in both situations. The master gave them something. They did something with the measure that he gave them. They increased that. And what did it do? What did he say in both situations? He said, I'm going to make you ruler over many things, he said to the one that had the 5. The one that increased the 2 said, I'm going to make you ruler over many things. What's he saying? Because you did the right thing, your life is now going to increase and get better. But then he received the 1 talent, verse 24, came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. And there, here is the 1 back. And his Lord answered, said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reaped not where I sowed and gathered where I didn't straw. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. Then at my coming I should have at least received usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10. For unto every one that has shall be given, he that has abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. Point of the story is this. We see that when the kingdom of heaven's like this, so you can liken God to this, when God or this servant gave something precious to these people, he expected them to do something with it, to not leave it the same, to go do something with it to increase, which then caused him to be able to promote them into more. The kingdom of heaven is like this. God delivered unto us his goods. What? The force, the very force to overcome in this life. A measure of it. What do you think he's expecting you to do with that measure? If we know faith is measurable and it can be different amounts, he's expecting us to go up with the amounts. But how many people are like the one with 1 talent? They've been given faith, and either maybe it's out of ignorance, because you do know that most people in the body of Christ aren't being taught any of this stuff. The churches you came from, were you taught any of this stuff? I was not taught this stuff. Nobody told me about faith and how to grow my faith and using faith, and it's up to me. It was all just put it on his shoulders. What happens is him. What doesn't happen is him as well. And so most people, God's dealt to everyone. They have this measure of faith and ignorance. Or, in a lot of cases, you know, this servant was slothful. He was lazy. A lot of times people won't do what it takes to get to the great faith, because it takes something. And they just keep that measure. And it could be turned into so much more. And then when it turns into so much more, like the 5 and the 2 turned into 10 and doubled his to 4, what happened? They walked into greater things. Amen. So what we're going to look at over the next 2 weeks, and 2 things I want to show you how to grow your faith. And there's only 2 ways to do it. Number 1 is to feed it. That's what we're going to look at. We're going to feed our faith. But the other way, and next week, and I'm just really thrilled about next week's message and the way that the Holy Ghost is going to have me preach it and present it. It'll bless you, it'll help you, and it'll be a great blessing unto you, is the way I can say it, I guess, the easiest way I can say it. But you have to exercise your faith. You can't just feed it, you have to exercise it. That's how you grow your faith. Never forget this. Faith is like a muscle. For a muscle to grow and get stronger, 2 things have to happen. You must feed it, and you must use it or exercise it, right? That's what we're going to look at next week. And next week, he's so sweet. I just am so in awe. The way that he gave the message to exercise our faith is going to be such a blessing, and it's going to be like a fire under people to start going forth in using faith. Because we need people to start somewhere to grow. It's like I said, you know, we see these great victories and we see this large amounts of faith. Well, I've walked into a gym before and I've seen muscle-bound people. It's always fun when they work out next to me. And they're, I mean, some of the things that they're doing curls with, I couldn't even think to squat or bench press that amount of weight. But those people that stack those 45-pound weights on there over and over, they didn't start there. They got there, but we got to start somewhere. And next week, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, we'll help you to start saying, okay, I need faith projects to start using my faith. It'll help you. So anyways, 1, feed it. Go with me to Romans 10 and verse 17. Much of this is going to be familiar territory, but it must just be that people just aren't doing what God's saying to do if he keeps having us to say the same things. Romans 10, 17. Again, how do you grow your faith? You feed it and you exercise. Well, what do you feed? What feeds your faith? 1 thing. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. To have faith present or working, it can't be obsolete of the word. Can't be void of the word. No word, no faith. I want faith. You can't have it without the presence of the word. You can't separate it. They go together. That's why I'm talking about there's a part we have to play. And many people have been like that one talent guy. Slothful. Lazy. You know, I'll say it this way. People want the 6-pack abs. Oh, I want them. Say, you don't have them? Nope. I want them. Sorry. Last week it was tighty whities. This week it's abs. I mean, you never know what you're going to get in this church. And oh, man, I see people I have like, man, I wonder what that would be like and look like and feel like. But you know what I'm here to tell you? I've just made up my mind. I finally just made up my mind. it's not worth it to me to do what I would have to do to get six-pack abs. I would have to radically, I'll just say it this way. On Sunday, I leave here, and I drive to Falconer in the summer every Sunday. It's one of the reasons I'm so thankful I don't have to ride with my family. I just do what I want after church. Eat on my own, not have kids to worry, just do my own thing. I need that after preaching. And I go to Falconer, and there's chicken barbecue. And I say, chicken barbecue, mac salad, applesauce, and a Sprite, and they give me a roll. That will not produce a six-pack. But I'm not willing to pay the price. I'm just not. But when it comes to faith, we better be willing to pay the price. Go with me real quick to Joshua 1 and verse 8. It goes along with this. There's a price that needs to be paid for great faith. And it has to do with the Word of God. Joshua 1 and verse 8. It says, "This book of the law, the Word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night." You know what meditating day in and night is? It's feeding on the Word. "That you may observe to do according to all that is written." But then notice that, "For then shall your way be made prosperous, and then you shall have good success." Well, why does prosperity and good success follow that? Because the meditation of the Word feeds your faith. Your faith grows and gets stronger and gets great. Great faith equals great victories, great conquests. But notice here, you can see here, it's like, okay, you want six-pack abs? This is what you got to do. No thanks. You want prosperity and good success in life? Everybody wants that. Okay, there's a price that you have to pay. The Word has to become big in your life. The Word has to become regular in your life. Matthew 4:4 is the best way we can really look at it. It's another natural example of and to illustrate a spiritual truth. Matthew 4:4. I mean, we all, sign me up, prosperity and good success. Wouldn't it be nice if really there was a magic pill for abs? Yeah. And you wouldn't have to diet and exercise. That'd be nice, but there's no such thing. There's a price. And it'd be nice if we just wake up with great faith, but it's just not a thing. There's a price that needs to be paid. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Jesus answered and said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone." Now you have to understand, he goes on to say, "but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." It's important that you know what the word "live" there means. Because we think of the word "live" and we think to be alive, to have a pulse, to have a heartbeat. Well, it says that man can't live by bread alone, but only with the Word of God. Well, it can't be talking about a pulse and a heartbeat. Because there's a lot of people that are alive, naturally, that don't have the Word of God in their life. There's people that hate the Word. There's people that are against the Word. You know, there's people that don't believe the Word, don't want anything to do with the Word. Well, they're still alive and have a heartbeat. That word "live" there is the word zoe in the Greek, the abundant life, the God kind of life, the heaven on earth kind of life. That God came and Jesus paid for us. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, he said, "I'm here that you may have life," same word, zoe. So he's saying man can't truly live heaven on earth, abundant life, overcoming, victory, Romans 5:17, reigning in life, the overcoming kind of life, by bread alone. He said you can't do it naturally alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, why is he talking about bread and the Word in the same thing? Well, the Word is our daily bread, spiritually. Just like your natural body needs bread or food, your spiritual man also needs food to be fed, to keep it fed and strong. And he's likening it to natural food. And I always say this when we preach this, but it brings it forth so clear. If we treated our spirit man or our faith life, if we treated our natural bodies like we treat our spirit life or our faith life, We're not going to have great faith. What do you mean? Well, if we today said, let's go out to lunch and eat all together and we'll not eat again until next Sunday after church, it's going to be a rough week for us. Right? Weak, dizzy, lightheaded, irritable, might welcome in sickness, whatever, pass out, dangerous, and get weak. But that's how people treat their spirits, where the faith resides and comes out of. That's how they treat it. And we expect to come up against something so strong that needs force to move it, and we don't have the force to move it, and we wonder, what's going on here? I use this example, and it just comes clear to me. You know, the linemen in football, NFL, they're the biggest guys on the field. And they have an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman. And these guys are huge. And they're strong. Why? They have to move other 300-pound men out of the way. One team's trying to go this way, one team's trying to go this way, and they collide. And the strongest one and the one that can win at the line of scrimmage is usually the team that wins the game. Right? If you can control the defense, you can win. If the defense can control the offense, and it starts up front with these guys. Well, they come into the week knowing, okay, I have a huge person, I got to move. NFL linemen do not fast. Look up some of these linemen now. You just Google it, that now are not in football anymore. They majorly trim down. They look completely different because to keep the strength and the power they need and the strength that they need to move needs nourishment to get those muscles and that strength. And you go look at their diets while they're playing football. It's not a fasted lifestyle. And unfortunately, people have lived a fasted spiritual lifestyle. And if an NFL lineman fasted against an NFL lineman who has not fasted, but has put thousands and thousands of calories into their body to build those muscles big and strong and to get them to be a large person to move that, if those people went in against someone that fasted, they would throw the fasted person around. And a lot of fasted Christians being thrown around because they've treated their spiritual lives in a fasting lifestyle. You would never do that to your own body. You don't do that to your own body. Right? I'm already thinking chicken dinner, chicken dinner, chicken dinner, chicken dinner, chicken dinner. I wake up Sunday morning, chicken dinner. Chicken dinner. And you know you have it too at times, you know. And I'll be honest with you, my in-laws are coming up, and I'm already thinking about the hamburgers after the chicken dinner. Because today is a special day for Mike Anderson. What's happening? First day of corn on the cob. Now that's a special day. Chicken barbecue followed by burgers and corn on the cob. What I'm trying to say is I'm not living a fasted lifestyle today. Up to this point I have, but after the service, all bets are off. Anyways, and we think about these things. At least I do, and I think I get excited about it. It's like, when is the last time we treated our spiritual feeding with the same excitement, with the same planning, with the same preparation? And people don't do that, and they don't receive the benefits of it. But Jesus said you must feed on the Word of God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, praise God. He's good to us, isn't he? Remember, he said in Joshua, without the word, prosperity and good success don't come. You want to truly live, we know that the abundant life, the way the abundant life is manifested comes through faith. You're sick, you believe God, faith. You're poor, you believe God, money. So living comes, it all is full circle. Hear the word, faith builds up, then you can truly live. You can release your faith and walk into the abundant life. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says this, as newborn babes, he said, just like, I love how God always, He uses these natural examples to let us see things. As newborn babies, so he says, picture like a newborn baby. He says, desire. That means to crave. That means to hunger for. That means to be willing to do without. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that the result will be that you will grow. What will grow? Your faith will grow. Because remember, your faith groweth exceedingly. Little, great. It can grow. There's room for growth. But notice how he said to desire it. He said, like a newborn baby would desire it. Now, I have to let you in on a little bit of something. You know, I got to spend the first 2 years with Caleb at home, feeding him. And when Caleb would cry, best way I can say it is now, have you ever listened to the song by John Denver called Calypso? It's a song about Jacques Cousteau's ship, and he sings, it's a song about the ocean. But in that song, and John Denver, man, he hits high notes that you need binoculars to see where they're at. And he yodels in that song. And Caleb can do it right with him, hitting the same note. The kid's got range, high range. But I learned that when he was little. The scream on that child, I have never heard anything like it before in my life. And the loudest and the most fierce screams he ever had were when he was hungry. That scream sounded different. That tantrum sounded different. In fact, I'll just be honest with you. This is not me trying to make you laugh. I'm just telling you to be transparent truth. When Caleb was born, it was quite a crazy delivery and all that. He came out looking like something and sounding like something with a scream that my thought was, put him back. I can't do this. Let's try another one. I don't want this one. I mean, just telling you. If you'd have saw what I saw and heard what I heard, that would have been your thought as well. I mean, his face was squished and the color and the just, it's like an alien had been born in the room. And then his cry. And so that cry right from the get-go was the most intense when he was hungry. Why? There was nothing else that was going to satisfy him. Holding him, bouncing him up and down, talking to him, putting toys in his face. Those work sometimes, not when he's hungry. And the Bible says, just like a newborn baby acts when they're hungry. What? They want one thing, milk. 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 That's all I want, milk. You can dangle a steak of a brand new baby. Well, here's a steak. No, they want milk. The Bible says the sincere milk, the meat, the heart, what the word can desire like a baby. How many times do we just casually, as F.F. Bosworth put it, and Brother Hagin quoted it many times, we feed our spirits one cold snack a week, and we feed our bodies three hot meals a day, and let's be honest, snacks in between. And we make sure to feed that part of us, but our spirit, man, it's just, and ladies and gentlemen, you don't live out of the natural. Abundant life doesn't come from the natural realm, but by the spiritual realm. And the natural, or the spiritual realm, does not get stronger by natural things. But we constantly avail ourselves to only natural things. What? Hobbies, recreation, entertainment, natural food. Nothing wrong with those things. But when that's what our hunger's in and our desire's at, then that part of us, the carnal part of us, will grow really strong. And the spirit man, where we reign from, will stay fasted and feeble and weak.
That's right. Yeah.
You need to feed your faith. Praise God. What does that look like? Well, what does it look like to feed your body? You're telling me, Pastor Mike, that I should feed in the Word like I feed my body? Yeah. Isn't that day and night? Doesn't Psalms 1 say you'll be like trees planted by the rivers of living water, meditating in the Word day and night? He's not saying stop your life and become a Bible monk and just don't do anything. But if we were to honestly take a look at our lives, Smith Wigglesworth was a mighty man of God, miracles, signs, and wonders. And people talked about him how when he would sit down to eat a meal, he'd pull out of his pocket a pocket New Testament and say, "What are you doing, Smith?" He said, "Well, if I'm going to feed my body, I'm certainly going to feed my spirit." Amen. If we look at our lives, there's no, I don't believe anybody that tells me you can't make time for the Word because you make time for food. Again, nobody's saying you have to spend 4, 5, 6 hours a day, but having the Word ever before us. You know, Abby's a grazer, just eats all day long, constantly, you know. We need to be grazers on His Word, constantly, all day long, you know. Having the Word before us, Scripture on our phone maybe, in the way to work, you know. Brushing our teeth, maybe a Scripture there. Just feeding, constantly feeding, constantly feeding. Day and night. Say, really? Yeah, there's a price. There's a price to pay. A rearrangement of your life, maybe. A difference of priorities. But it's so worth it, people. Oh, it's so worth it. I had somebody, and we'll close right there. I had somebody, this is months ago now, say to me, they said, "Pastor Mike, I've heard you preach on what I preached today so many times." Years they'd been with me. And they said, "You know what? I finally decided, hey, I'm just going to listen to that guy. I'm just going to do what the Bible says." And the results, they said, were nothing short than amazing. I said, the Word works. Amen. The Word works. If I could get you feeding on spiritual things, oh, man. Oh, man. So let's do it. Praise God. Let's grow strong in faith. And then next week, we have to exercise it, because if you just eat and don't exercise, you get flabby. It doesn't turn into anything good. So not only do we need to feed, but then to grow our faith strong, we need to exercise our faith. And so we'll learn how to do that next week. But Father, thank you for helping us this morning. Thank you for the illustrations, the examples, impartations, the utterance, the boldness. Lord, we give you the praise for it. We're so thankful. And Father, we just love you this morning. We love the Word. We're thankful for the Word. We're thrilled with the Word. Father, we need to stir ourselves up at times. We need to put our flesh under and tell our flesh no. And start doing things in our lives that not only will lead to benefits for us, but for the kingdom. Father, I pray that each and every person that heard this today, their eyes would be open to these things. And maybe they'll be like that person. Well, I've heard Pastor Mike preach that for years now, and I've never really changed. I've never really done anything different. But you know what? I want to see some different things in my life. And Father, we know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting something different. Oh, Lord, what would let people's lives be like if they would just do something different in the right direction of what you have said? Father, only good things would await them, only increase. So I thank you right now by faith for change in people's lives. I thank you that people's faith from these next two services is going to grow exceedingly. And if we're at a place of little faith, it's going to grow from that place. We're going to great faith, and we thank you for it. We praise you for it. Now, I know everybody here is born again, but if you're watching right now and you're not saved, you've never received Jesus, you have to understand the Bible says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. He said that himself in John chapter 14. He said, "You must believe in me," John 3:16 says. And Romans 10:13 says, "You must call on his name. For with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made." And so first it starts with belief. And only you know if you believe in Jesus. Again, it's not about church attendance. It's not about jumping through religious hoops. In your heart of hearts, can you say, "You know what, I do believe in him"? Well, then you're half the way there. And if you do believe in him, the Bible says, then you must confess with your mouth. So if you're watching right now and you've never received Jesus, again, it doesn't have anything to do with how bad you've been, how good you've been, how much church you've been to, or how little church you've been to. But you want to receive Jesus, and you can say, "I believe in him." There's just one thing left to do, and that's to receive him. And so where you're at right now, you just go ahead and cry out to him. And the prayer would sound something like this. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're real. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. Save me, Jesus. If you'll pray that and mean that, he'll do his part. Heaven will be yours and God will become your Father. Praise God and he'll love you. And send me an email, give me a text message, give me a phone call, whatever. And we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church so you can learn this stuff and have your life changed forever. Can we just praise God together before we go? Father, we bless you. Make a commitment to him. If you're sincere, don't just do it because I'm saying, but if you want your faith to grow, if you want to be in a different place, make a commitment to him that you'll make some adjustments. Myself, there's room for growth, my goodness. Whenever there becomes no room for growth, you have a problem. You are deceived. There's always room for growth. So, Lord, we endeavor to grow our faith. Father, humanity needs it. You remember the story when Brother Hagin, you can look at me again if you want. If you don't look at me, I'll know that you don't want to. But remember when Brother Hagin was driving down the road with Norval Hayes? And there was a crippled person that walked across the street. And Norval Hayes says, Brother Hagin, do you think it's God's will for that gentleman to be healed? And Brother Hagin said, if somebody's willing to pay the price. What was he saying? Well, for somebody to minister and to have faith for that healing of that person, they have to get to a place where they're in a place to operate from that place. It takes a price. And so the price that we pay to be people of great faith will benefit your life, but it'll benefit others around you. Thank you, Lord, for that. I want to pay the price. People need us. People need a touch from heaven, and we are the Jesuses on the earth. Jesus, you didn't walk around fasted spiritually. You didn't walk around feeble in your faith or with little faith. You walked around full. You walked around in great faith and people benefited from it. Oh, Father, give everyone a heart for humanity. People with full faith walk into their jobs and see someone sick and their first response is to lay hands and to minister healing. When people are going through things, people with full faith give them the word. They're not timid. They're not shy. Many times we've been timid, we've been shy to be Jesus on the earth, and it's just because we're not full. Lord, help us to see that people need us. You're not coming off that throne to do the work that we're called to do. So, Father, we thank you for change. We thank you for hearts being touched, lives being changed. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you go with me to Proverbs 18:21, we're going to take up an offering. People need us, ladies and gentlemen. People need us. You know, Jesus never got to an encounter with a situation with a sick person or someone that needed to hear something good from him and all says, I'm too nervous, I can't do that. And you know the reason? He was full of God. He was full of faith all the time. Again, it goes back to my dunk tank story. You know, I was so just ready to grab that ball and throw it because I knew what I had. I knew I'm going to hit that thing. I just knew it. I knew I'm going to shut them up. I knew it was my comfort zone. I knew I'm skilled in it. I'm ready. It's the same thing. If we go into situations that are tough and hard, when we're skilled and built up, we don't back down from it. We run towards it. Praise God. Proverbs 18:21. Don't want to preach you a second sermon, of course, but it says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it, eat the fruit thereof. Look what the Bible says your tongue has the ability to produce. Death and life. You know what death and life is in the financial realm? Poverty and blessing. Poverty, death, blessing, life. It can produce this. Now let me tell you about a dream I had this week. Want to hear about a dream I had this week? Yeah. I dreamt that I was in a Western. And I had the full garb on, except for the chaps. No chaps. Didn't have chaps on. But I had the full garb on, man. My shirt was tucked in with a flannel-looking-like shirt. Cowboy hat. But the crazy thing about this dream, so I didn't know this dream would translate spiritually, but God always has a way. I, in the dream, no matter what anybody said to me in the dream, whether it was, what would you like to eat? What is your name? Where do you live? All these questions. My only answer in the whole dream, time and time again, with a Western accent was, much obliged. But and I tipped my hat every time I said it, and that kept happening and happening, and people just were wondering, what in the world? It's all I would say. No matter what was being said or going around me, that's all I would say. Why am I bringing that up to you? Death and life. Say, what do you eat before bed? Oh, boy. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What's that telling you? Your words matter. What am I saying? There should be certain things you're only saying all the time, no matter what's going on around you. When the bills look bigger, when the paycheck looks smaller, when things are breaking down, nothing should come out of your mouth except, I'm the blessed of the Lord. Increase comes to me. What am I talking? Blessing talk, no matter what. No matter what it's saying, because it didn't seem to make sense, what do you want to eat? Much obliged. That didn't seem to make sense, right? And it doesn't make sense. But it doesn't seem to make sense when poverty's at your front door, you say, I'm the rich of the Lord. But when you're doing that, you're creating something. Amen. And now you're going to always remember that dream. And when your mouth attempts to say something wrong, well, it doesn't make sense to call myself healed. It doesn't make sense to call myself rich. It does when you know your words create those things. No matter what's going on, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you feel, no matter what you're experiencing, you just say that. And tip your hat when you do it. Praise God. Just tip your hat and say, I'm rich. Praise God. Money's coming. Praise the Lord. That's a true story. That happened. I can't even get into the dream I had last night. I'll just give you a little preview. It had to do with the UFC president, Dana White. I don't even watch Ultimate Fighting Championships. But he was my boss. I was a mechanic, and he lived in a van on the... Oh, my God, I could just go into it. I'll just stop right there. It was so bizarre. What's that? The T9 gets me, I think. You know, the spices they put in it. But that's a little bit of my dream last night. I don't know how we're going to incorporate that someday, but we will. But there's a lot more. Wow. I love going to bed. It's like a movie. Every night I go to bed, it's like a movie. Not every night, but it seems like a lot of times. But anyways, let's go ahead and give this morning our building fund. Let's give it with joy. Father, thank you for the opportunity to sow into this place, this house that has changed our lives and helped us. And Lord, is connected to so many people's lives. Father, we love you and appreciate you. We're just so honored to sow. And Lord, we just declare over Family Church South Dayton, we're fully funded, fully supplied. All the money, all the properties, all the buildings, all the equipment and all the people, Father, that we need to do what you've called us to do, it comes. And Lord, those under the sound of my voice that will tithe, give offerings, that will do what you said to do, they'll get what you say they can have, which is increase, which is promotion, divine ideas, wisdom and favor financially, supernatural unexpected blessing, supernatural debt payoff. We claim it as ours in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you're dismissed, don't forget, no Wednesday until next Wednesday. Please just kind of head out and go as we've been doing. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else I need to tell you? I don't think so. What? Prizes. That's what it is. Kids, don't forget. Get your prizes as you go out. Love you and appreciate you. Oh, and if you need prayer, please just come up. We'll pray for you and believe God, whatever it is. You're dismissed. Love you.